This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about MarTech from calendar weeks 20 and 21. Frenis is a B2B market research company that supports enterprise marketing teams in unlocking the full potential of their customer data with the help of AI. You can find more info in the description.
So imagine spending like $5 million on 47 different marketing tools.
Mm.
You think you have this ultimate tech stack.
Right, the dream stack.
Exactly.
Mm.
And then your CEO walks into your office and asks this seemingly simple question. Like, hey, which specific channel brought in our last 100 enterprise customers?
Oh, man, the classic nightmare scenario. Because honestly, you have absolutely no idea.
You have no idea. You pull off three different dashboards. And I mean, they all give you a completely different answer. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone.
Yeah, welcome. And I mean, that scenario is playing out in boardrooms everywhere right now. Today, we're taking a look at the top MarTech trends we've seen across LinkedIn over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're cutting right through the theoretical fluff.
Yeah.
We really want to focus on the actual mechanics of what is working for advanced B2B marketing teams today.
Exactly, because the whole technological foundation of our industry is basically getting rewired. Today, we're clustering these insights into a few big themes. We'll cover contextual AI, stack rationalization, the evolution of marketing ops, and of course, CDP strategy.
And that rewiring is really the only place to start, because the ground is literally shifting under our feet right now. Scott Brinker and Franz Reimersma just released the State of MarTech 2026 report.
Oh, yeah. The numbers they presented at MarTech Day paint such a fascinating picture.
They really do. I mean, we are currently sitting at 15,505 different marketing tools on the landscape.
Which, you know, sounds like a plateau if you just look at the net growth. The overall landscape only grew by 0.7% this year.
Right.
And a lot of people saw that flatline and assumed, okay, the MarTech explosion is finally over. Things are stabilizing.
But that flatline is incredibly deceptive, because right beneath that 0.7% net growth is this massive, violent churn.
Yeah, the churn is wild.
It is. Last year, 1,488 entirely new tools entered the market, and at the exact same time, 1,367 tools completely vanished.
Wow.
So we aren't seeing a stabilization at all. We are seeing like a mass extinction event for a very specific type of software, followed by an immediate repopulation.
And Jen Merkel brought some brilliant clarity to why that specific churn is happening. She pointed out this fundamental difference between the software that's dying and the software that's surviving.
Mm-hmm.
The tools that vanished were almost entirely built for human workflows. They were designed around, you know, graphical user interfaces.
Right, like dashboards where a human marketer actually logs in and clicks a few buttons, builds a segment manually, and schedules a campaign.
Exactly. But the 1,488 new tools that survived and entered the market, completely different. They are being built as headless infrastructure for AI agents.
Yeah, the interface is no longer designed for eyes. It's designed to be read and operated by machines. Which brings us to this concept Brinker and Reimersma call the golden context.
Oh, this is a huge shift.
Huge. Historically, your MarTech stack was a system of record, right? It just hoarded static data.
Yeah.
A list of names, an email address, maybe a log of a white paper someone downloaded 6 months ago.
But static records don't generate revenue anymore. The value is now entirely in fluid, real-time context.
Exactly. Like, what is the customer doing on your pricing page right this second? And how does that relate to your company's current service capacity?
Because AI agents require that golden context to make instantaneous, autonomous decisions.
Spot on.
I can hear B2B marketers sweating right now, though. If the new standard requires software built specifically for AI agents to act in real time, does this mean teams have to just rip out their entire legacy stack? Like, let me load a hypothesis here. Is this transition like traveling to Europe, where you have to throw away all your expensive electronics because the wall outlets are totally different? Or is there a way to just, you know, buy a universal adapter for the systems we already rely on?
Fortunately, we are looking at a universal adapter scenario here.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl Alfonso published a fantastic breakdown of how this actually works mechanically.
Okay, good.
The adapter is called MCP, the Model Context Protocol. In the previous era, if you wanted an AI application to read the data in your CRM, your engineering team had to build a custom point-to-point API integration.
Ugh, which was expensive, brittle, and broke every single time a platform updated.
Exactly. You'd have one custom pipeline for Salesforce, totally different custom pipeline from Marketo, another for your content management system. Just a maintenance nightmare.
So how does MCP fix that?
It acts as an open universal standard. A legacy tool only needs to support MCP once. From that moment on, any AI assistant that speaks MCP can securely plug right into it.
Oh, wow. So an AI agent can read your existing CRM data, analyze past campaign performance in your analytics suite, and draft a hyper-personalized email without anyone building a custom bridge between those three islands.
Exactly. And we are seeing the practical ROI of that architecture already. Jay Sanderson just cataloged 50 different use cases where teams are utilizing a RAG-driven AI intelligence layer.
Right, and RAG stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation.
Correct. Instead of an AI just guessing an answer based on like the generic data it was trained on, RAG acts like a secure binder of your specific company data. You hand that binder to the AI before it acts.
And Sanderson showed how this layer just sits on top of your existing supposedly outdated stack, so you keep Salesforce, you keep HubSpot.
Exactly. But you use ARIC and MCP connections so a sales rep can instantly query your massive disorganized content library and pull the exact technical PDF a prospect needs to close a deal.
Which completely shifts the financial strategy for a CMO. I mean, you aren't buying new software to replace the old. You're extending the utility of the software you thought was obsolete.
Yeah, but we have to be careful here. Plugging a universal AI adapter into a disjointed, bloated stack doesn't automatically solve your go-to-market problems.
Right.
In most cases, it just scales your existing chaos at the speed of light.
Which introduces a massive consequence, because if your underlying data structure is a mess, the AI just executes bad decisions faster.
Exactly. Yeah. And Anthony Sogg laid out the grim reality of this. He accurately described most enterprise marketing stacks as a graveyard of good intentions.
Ouch, but fair.
Very fair. You have CMOs overseeing 47 different tools, spending millions in licensing fees, and they are still suffering from the scenario we mentioned at the very start. They cannot attribute revenue to specific channels.
Alex Gluse actually dug into the mechanics of why these stacks become graveyards. He noted that the most successful AI-driven marketing leaders aren't stacking more tools to solve problems.
Right, they are radically reducing their tool set.
Yes, and more importantly, they are assigning exactly one explicit job to each platform. So research happens exclusively in tool A. Content generation happens in tool B.
Because when you allow the roles of your software to drift like when your CRM tries to be an email sender and your email sender tries to be an analytics platform, your stack becomes the bottleneck.
Let me challenge that slightly, though. Aren't we just describing standard marketing operations here, like keeping the database clean, making sure tools are integrated? Why are we suddenly rebranding this as architecture discipline?
The sheer scale of the failure demands a new classification. Bray Brockbank reframed this perfectly. He pointed out that we are no longer just drawing pretty architecture diagrams for a slide deck.
Right, those massive visual maps with 100 logos on them.
Exactly. Enterprise teams are suffering from systemic coordination failure because the technology is expanding infinitely faster than human governance. Marketing architecture has to evolve into a rigorous operational discipline.
It's about intentionally engineering the systems that govern revenue.
Yes.
That distinction makes a lot of sense. It's basically the difference between buying a pile of expensive bricks and actually knowing how to engineer a load-bearing wall.
That's a great way to put it. And the current waste is staggering. Kumar Babu Vanapalli shared a statistic that should terrify any CFO.
Oh, I saw this.
Enterprise teams utilize, on average, just 33% of their MarTech stack's capabilities.
Mm.
Two-thirds of the functionality they pay for sits completely dormant.
So layering an AI agent over a stack where you only understand a third of the underlying mechanics creates this massive orchestration gap.
Exactly. You're attempting to move from a system that merely executes scheduled tasks to a system that autonomously thinks and reacts. That orchestration gap is fatal.
And Vanapalli also noted that this shift fundamentally changes what holds value in a company. We are moving toward a prompt stack.
Yes, the specific instructions and context you feed the AI.
Right, those prompts actually become highly guarded corporate intellectual property, just like your source code or your customer list. But if your architecture is brittle, those prompts fail.
He highlighted that 78% of AI project failures stem from poor instructions and chaotic data environments, not from flaws in the underlying AI models themselves.
Wow. So if architectural governance is now the most critical mandate for a marketing team, we have to ask who actually owns the blueprints.
Which brings us to the rapidly evolving and honestly historically underappreciated role of marketing operations, or MOPS.
Yeah, Ashley Langford posted what might be the most painfully accurate description of MomOps I have ever heard.
Oh, the oldest daughter analogy.
Yes. She compared working in marketing ops to being the corporate version of the oldest daughter. You carry this massive, invisible load across every team.
Oh, man, it is so true.
You remember where all the data lives. You fix the broken workflows sales created, and you clean up the strategic messes left by leadership.
She also described the department as 12 highly capable raccoons hiding inside a trench coat, trying to keep the go-to-market engine running.
Which is hilarious.
It is, but the humor masks a very serious operational vulnerability. MOPS has traditionally been treated as a reactive builder role. You know, the people you submit a ticket to when you need a campaign scheduled or a data cable plugged in.
Right. But Tara P. highlighted how AI is aggressively changing that dynamic. She noted that implementing AI is currently acting as the world's most expensive QA test.
Because it's stress testing every duct taped integration and exposing every single manual workaround.
Exactly. MOPS professionals can no longer just be platform administrators. They must be the strategic adults in the room defining where the automated guardrails actually go.
Let me play devil's advocate here for a second, though. If Mox is currently drowning in that oldest daughter syndrome-like, spending 80% of their week manually deduplicating contacts, pulling lists, and fixing broken API syncs, how on earth do they suddenly have the bandwidth to step back and act as high-level systems architects?
That is the exact paradox teams are facing right now. And Mike Rizzo provided the mechanical solution. The relief comes from deploying conversion agents.
Okay, what are those?
They are specialized AI agents tasked specifically with taking over the recurring execution floor. Think about the mundane, high-volume tasks. Running sync checks between your webinar platform and Salesforce, routing leads based on territory rules, standardizing job titles in your database.
Oh, I see. So the agents are absorbing all the operational busy work.
Precisely. By offloading that high-friction, low-strategy execution to conversion agents, the human MOPS team finally regains their capacity. They stop running the factory floor and actually have the time to engineer the go-to-market architecture.
And Premod M. took this trajectory to its logical conclusion. He argued that this transition permanently shifts MOPS out of the back office cost center category. They become business value engineers.
I love that title.
It's accurate, too. When you are the team governing the data that feeds the AI, and you are designing the automated systems that capture and convert leads, you hold absolute boardroom currency.
Because you're no longer just optimizing a newsletter send. You are actively engineering the mechanics of how the company generates revenue.
However, and this is a big however, MomOps can design the most elegant architecture in the world, and conversion agents can execute those designs flawlessly. But the entire system still collapses if the underlying customer data is siloed.
Which brings us to the engine room powering this entire agentic shift. The customer data platform, or CDP.
Right. The CDP category has faced a lot of skepticism lately. There's this vocal segment of the market claiming CDPs are dead, arguing that modern data warehouses or composable technologies have basically rendered them obsolete.
But Harsha Khorsala mounted a highly technical defense of the established CDP this past week.
Yeah, his argument cuts right to the core of performance marketing mechanics. He pointed out that data warehouses and standard attribution tools critically lack real-time live instrumentation and direct KPI flows.
And KPI stands for Conversions API, which is how your systems talk directly to ad network servers.
Right. If you are a brand burning millions of dollars a month on Meta and Google, those platforms are highly incentivized to report a phenomenal return on ad spend.
Oh, for sure. They will happily take credit for a prospect who organically visited your pricing page 6 times, but happened to scroll past one retargeting ad right before they finally clicked purchase.
Exactly the problem. Harsha argues that a robust CDP, equipped with a live SDK and a unified identity graph, provides the actual directional truth.
Because it tracks the user's behavior across every touch point in real time.
Yes, so it can prove your true incremental ROAS. It separates the customers who are converted by the ad from the customers who are going to buy anyway. A data warehouse, which typically relies on batch uploads, simply cannot provide that real-time behavioral verification.
But the architecture of the CDP itself is fracturing too. Elad Simon raised a critical warning about the debate between packaged and composable CDPs. Mechanically, these are two entirely different philosophies.
Very different. A packaged CDP hoards data. It requires you to extract data from all your systems and copy it into the CDP's centralized hub. But a composable CDP does the opposite.
Right. It assumes your data stays where it already lives, like in a Snowflake warehouse, and the CDP simply queries and activates it from there.
And both are valid engineering approaches, but the danger lies in misunderstanding how they interact. Simon warned against the trend of building a Frankenstein architecture.
Oh, where you have companies buying a legacy package CDP, welding a basic warehouse connector onto it, and claiming they now have a composable system.
Yes, which causes massive latency. You are taking a system designed to hoard and copy data and forcing it to act as a system that simply points to data.
And that architectural clash creates duplication errors and slows the entire activation process to an absolute crawl.
And that latency destroys the primary promise of modern MarTech, personalization. Kaban Kumar dismantled this with what he calls the real-time illusion.
Oh, I read this. Vendors constantly sell the dream that a customer takes an action, and instantly a perfectly tailored experience drops onto their screen.
But Kumar points out the mechanical flaw. If your data ingestion pipelines and your identity stitching processes take 24 hours to sync across a Frankenstein architecture, your automated triggers are acting on yesterday's news.
It's like having a world-class sniper rifle, but your spotter is using binoculars that show what happened 24 hours ago.
That's exactly it.
If your foundational data layer relies on legacy batch logic, the incredibly expensive orchestration engine you put on top of it is useless for true in-the-moment personalization. You just have to kill the batch mindset entirely.
And to achieve that real-time capability, we have to rethink the very structure of the content we feed these systems. Desmond Fua introduced a brilliant framework for this called SEMANTIC.
Right. He highlighted that when AI personalization fails, it's rarely the fault of the AI model itself. It fails because the underlying data lacks structured content models and clear entity identification.
Let's break down the mechanics of that. Like, what does a lack of structured content actually look like inside a marketing department?
Well, it looks like a shared drive full of unstructured PDFs, loosely named web pages, and image files with zero tags. An AI agent scanning that drive has no inherent understanding of what it is actually looking at.
So to fix this, you must apply rigorous metadata, clear schemas, and AI-ready indexing. You have to tag the technical specs, the intended audience, and the product lines to every single asset.
Because without that structured foundation, the AI cannot retrieve the correct information to activate the right message.
Fuda's whole point is that structuring your data is no longer just a tactic for better SEO. It's a mandatory foundational capability if you want your AI marketing to function at all.
So synthesizing everything we've covered today, we are looking at a landscape that has violently churned out tools built for humans, replacing them with infrastructure built for AI agents.
Right.
We have the Model Context Protocol acting as the universal adapter to connect those agents to our data. We are seeing a desperate need for actual architecture discipline to prevent our tech stacks from becoming bloated graveyards. We have marketing ops evolving from back office raccoons into strategic business value engineers, leveraging conversion agents to buy back their time. And finally, we have the CDP providing the directional truth and structured real-time data required to make any of this actually work.
Which perfectly brings us to a final necessary shift in perspective. Pritam Roy analyzed all of this movement surrounding the State of MarTech report and offered a thought that just completely reframes the conversation.
Yeah, this was a great post.
Right now, every marketing leader is running around asking the exact same question. Which AI tools are the top-performing companies buying? Roy points out that this is entirely the wrong question to ask.
Because the tool itself isn't the differentiator.
The real question you must ask yourself is, what did your team build before the AI arrived? The companies that are currently dominating with AI integration did not simply purchase a magical piece of software last month. They spent the last 3 years doing the tedious, highly unglamorous work of cleaning their data infrastructure, structuring their content, and strictly defining their architectural governance. They fixed the plumbing deep inside the walls before they ever tried to install the smart faucets.
If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, AI and B2B marketing, go-to-market, and social selling.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next analysis. As you evaluate your own marketing stack this week, ask yourself if you are looking at a clean, governed blueprint, or if you are wandering through a chaotic mansion built by 47 different contractors. The AI agents are moving in, and they require a clean map. See you next time.